You unlock this door with a key of imagination. Beyond it, another dimension, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind, and most importantly, a dimension of sound. You've just crossed over into the Grateful Dead Zone. Greetings, cats and kittens, foxes and coyotes. This is the Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson. 2 hours of great Grateful Dead music, two sets. And today, a very interesting Grateful Dead Zone. It's going to be a rousing salute to the wall of sound. Every single selection we're going to play in this edition of the Grateful Dead Zone is going to have been played through the wondrous wall of sound. The Dead played 40 shows in 1974 where this entire contraption was up and running. And there's an ulterior motive for this. The week after next, there'll be no Grateful Dead Zone next week, hint, hint, having the writer of the book On the Wall of Sound. There's an entire book, which I'm going to get into, a brilliant book that's come out documenting the history of the Wall of Sound. I'm going to give you much more information on that, but I want to warm everybody up because we got to get the Wall of Sound tuned in and dialed in because we're going to dive deep into that in a couple of weeks. But I thought we should just heavily go into the Wall of Sound to get ready. So this was a sound check, the Cow Palace, a place not known for good sound. After they got this thing up and running in February, they brought it to the Cow Palace for another concert just to make sure everything was up and running and just exactly perfect. So this is how they started out that show. And as you can hear, things, I know this will shock you if you're a Grateful Dead fan, things weren't exactly perfect when they cranked it up. That's what I mean. I had to dial that in just a little bit. That was U.S. Blues, Cow Palace, March 24th, 1974. So this is a warm-up. So the book is called Grateful Dead, Wall of Sound and the Quest for Audio Perfection. And the title of the book's Loud and Clear, writer's Brian Anderson. And it's a great book. I've read a lot of books on the Grateful Dead. It's basically a history of the band, but through the on-ramp is their various sound systems and how they developed from the very first days at the pizza parlor in Menlo Park all the way to the Wall of Sound and then a short epilogue afterwards. But it really gets into the inner workings of the Dead, both musically and organizationally. So it's a great desert island Dead book. And I'll have Brian on the show in a couple of weeks. We'll spend the whole show dissecting the music and the sound systems. We may not be entirely in 1974 because there's a lot of sound systems there, but this particular show we will be. So let's go to the State Fairgrounds, Des Moines. This would be June 16th, 1974. I think this would have been an outdoor gig. And just the descriptions of how they assembled this thing, just putting the scaffolding up. They had two sets of scaffolding. One would go ahead to the next gig and set up, but all the speakers, etc., would go in. In essence, the Dead just slowly built this thing up across a lot of years, and by the time of 74, everything was up and running. It was the ultimate expression of perfect sound. So let's let the ears, well, again, we can't be there, so we don't know what it sounded like in the audience, but we do have these recordings, so it's the next best thing.
Thank you.
State Fairgrounds, Des Moines, June 16, 1974. The mighty wall of sound in full flight. This is the Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson, and we're going to stay in 1974. The Dead played 40 shows, I believe, in 74, a lot less than they were used to playing. I think the year before was over 100. But the wall of sound was quite the contraption, and it was tougher to do gigs. Plus, there was just a lot of logistical things going on. But this book, Loud and Clear, goes into all of the shows. So we're going to go 12 days later, the Boston Garden. Again, another huge enormo dome of concrete that never really sounds that good. And they cranked the wall in there and cranked it up to 11. So let's go to the Boston Garden, June 28th, 1974.
Together. has time to lay me down. To lay me down. Oh, to lay me
Lay Me Down. I play that a lot on the Grateful Dead Zone. That's June 28th, 1974. Boston Garden, a place they would return to many a time. On the fabulous, fabulous Wall of Sound. I'm celebrating the Wall of Sound and a great book on it. Wall of Books called What's the book called? Loud and Clear by Brian Anderson. And Brian's going to be with me week after next. We're going to dive deep into the book and other interesting recordings that celebrate the Dead's various sound systems. How's that for arcana? But it's the music that matters, as I'm sure the Dead would say. But in this particular show, we're going to stay in the Wall of Sound for the entire 2 hours, something we haven't done yet. Let's go on now. Well, this was a song that was, I think, only played ever during those 40 shows on the Wall of Sound tours in 1974. We're going to go to Portland, Oregon, May 19th, 1974. And this is one of the, I'll say, semi-rare performances. But they kind of discarded this particular song. I can kind of understand why, but whatever. Nice to hear a rare piece of Grateful Dead music that we usually don't play in the Grateful Dead Zone, right?
You can't really see the light show when you've got that many lights on.
Just like a light show for your ears and your mind. Relics and Psychedelics, 1 to 3 p.m. on KSQD, KSQD Santa Cruz, 90.7 FM and online. It's KSQD.org.
Thank you!
Money, Money, a song not oft played by the Grateful Dead, and some could argue for very good reason. That song was played seldom. The next song was only played once. Believe it or not, the Dead only played this song once in Miami, Florida on June 23rd, 1974. Maybe the wall of sound inspired something. So let's hear the one and only Grateful Dead performance of this song, what we call a one of. Let It Rock. That's a song that the JGB would do, or the JGB, correct, Garcia's band, hope I got those initials in the right sequence, would do, but not the Grateful Dead. That is the one and only version of that. You know, we've done, what, over 175 Grateful Dead zones, and I've never knowingly played a performance twice. So think about that, 175 two-hour shows, and we haven't played a performance twice. And in this case, we haven't played that song before, so how about that? Amazing. The Grateful Dead contains multitudes. Why don't we pick things up a little bit? We're going to go back to the State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, June 16th, 1974. This is Eric Nelson, the Grateful Dead Zone, and a rousing tribute to the Wall of Sound.
I feel tears welling up and down deep inside, like my heart's got a big break. Instead of a lonely, it's sharp and painful, I may never shake. Broke me off with a cow, like a witcher that'll hide in sorrow. Whenever I The race is on, it looks like heartache, and the winner loses all.
Race is on. Perky Bob Weir song on the fabulous Wall of Sound. Celebrating the Wall of Sound and celebrating the book Loud and Clear, Brian Anderson. Really, really great book on the Grateful Dead and great descriptions. And it also gets to the essence of the Grateful Dead experience. And this is a sample describing the Wall of Sound. This is from the book. The Wall is a colossal character unto itself, the living, breathing, megawatt protagonist in its own epic saga. Phil Lesh likened the system to the voice of God. The Wall allowed the Dead, in his words, to get loud, clean sound at the back of a huge hall and supreme musical control because we run everything from the stage. Lesh described the Wall as simply apocalyptic and said that the experience of playing through it felt like piloting a flying saucer. So we're going to be diving deep into more details on the Wall of Sound, but piloting a flying saucer. This is The Grateful Dead with Eric Nelson. So imagine we're with Phil Lesh, and we're going to pilot that. Certainly in the second set, there's going to be a lot of UFO piloting. But let's go right now to the Wall. Portland again, May 19th, 1974.
Cheap.
One thing the Wall of Sound did very well is amplify Donna Godchow. So if you're a Donna fan, you can hear her in all her wailing glory. Scarlet Bobonias, that's what it is in fact called. May 19th, 1974, up in Portland. This is a rousing two-hour salute to the fabulous Wall of Sound. And in the book, they talk about something in our backyard. Brian Anderson, who wrote the book, actually went deep into our archive up at the UCSC, the Grateful Dead Archive, which we all know is up there, and he found sketches, like design sketches of the Wall and how it grew to various giant outdoor gigs. So, you know, they really were keeping track of how things would sound from everywhere. And this is a great description of the notes in one of these drawings that are right up on our own college campus. So just think, these drawings are, if you're in Santa Cruz, are right up on the hill. It's sort of nice to know. But anyway, Brian writes, "One of those harder to decipher calculations features a miniature drawing in blue pen of the Lego-like speaker array of the Wall of Sound. The back of the envelope sketch has marginalia and asides that verge in the metaphysical. They echo the, quote, seeing sound synthesia baked into the Dead's sonic DNA. Dense knots, one reads. Another says, floating galaxies on the retina."
Please listen to Oblique Strategies with Denise Gallant on Sunday nights at 9 to 11 o'clock here on KSQD. Oblique Strategies is mostly an up-tempo electronic music show inspired by playing cards created by Brian Eno and Peter Schmidt in 1975. It includes music from EDM to New Age and from all eras.
The Alley Pally, a.k.a. the Alexandra Palace, the Wall of Sound. They foolishly carted the whole rig over to Europe for a handful of concerts, and by then everything was falling apart. The wheels were coming off the Grateful Dead and their organization, which is why they wrapped everything up in October to take an entire year and a half off. We'll be getting into much more of those details the week after next when Brian Anderson, the author of Loud and Clear, this epic history of the Grateful Dead sound system, joins us on the Grateful Dead Zone. Let's go now to Vancouver. This is two nights before Portland. That was the 19th. This is May 17th, 1974.
Child, ship of food on a
A beautiful song, Ship of Fools on Mars Hotel. It's the song that shocked everybody when Elvis Costello covered it. Elvis Costello's Into the Dead? Oh, yes. And he attended, in my opinion, the greatest Dead show of all time, and that would be Bickersham in 1972 in the Mud. All right, let's see our first set out. This is how they saw their set out at the Spectrum. The dump that jumps, as Bruce Springsteen says. Spectrum, Philadelphia, August 5th, 1974.
Well, the joint was jumping, going around and round. Hey, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. Well, it never stopped rocking till the moon went down. Well, it sounded so sweet, I had to take a chance. Rose out of the sea. Lord, I had to dance. I started moving my feet and clapping my hands. Lord, they never stopped talking, going round and round. Hey, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. Oh, no, they never stopped rocking.
so sweet. I had to take a chance.
Hi, I'm Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. Public and community radio were very important to our early development. They continue to be a source of inspiration and information. They also serve as an important vehicle for many of our pet projects. I subscribe. I urge you to pledge your support. Thank you.
KSQD Santa Cruz 90.7 FM, KSQT Prunedale 89.7 FM, and Translator K208GE Monterey 89.5 FM.
Here's best-selling author Jonathan Franzen on why he likes K-Squid.
There is something really sweetly funky about K-Squid, I have to say. You walk in here and it feels... You're not in Pasadena. You are not in La Jolla. You're in Santa Cruz.
K-Squid Radio. Many voices, one station.
When the phrase sweetly funky comes to mind, I think of that guitar break. That was a great Around and Around. They would end first sets like that. August 5th, 1974, Spectrum in Philadelphia on a rousing Grateful Dead Zone tribute to the Wall of Sound and a bank shot to Brian Anderson's book, Loud and Clear, a book on the Wall of Sound. And Brian will be joining me next week. Where to go from that? Well, this is from the book. This is a good description as we go into our second set of the whole Grateful Dead gestalt here. It talks about how obsessive the Dead were to make the Wall of Sound reach everybody in the perimeter. So if you were in a giant fairground, they wanted the sound in the far back corner. When your back was turned, to sound as good as somebody up front. They're really conscious of that. And the wall continues, as this book makes clear, the acid test ethos, you know, where everything had to sound great. The audience was part of the experience. This is the Wall of Sound with Owsley guiding it that really got them there. And this book says, with no monitors in front of them, they were totally exposed, a direct line back to the acid tests, where no boundary existed between band and crowd. Everybody was in the sound field along for the ride. This is what the great Steve Silberman, who actually joined me once on KSQD to talk about the great David Crosby. But anyway, the late, great David Silberman said this about the Wall. The Wall was a very concrete manifestation of the idea that the band and the audience were the same. It was a cosmic democracy.
On the day when I was born, Daddy sat down and cried. I had the more justice pleased to hear.
That was an interesting 1-2 punch. Great half step, and Must Have Been the Roses, Spectrum in Philadelphia, 1974. In fact, every selection in this particular episode of the Grateful Dead Zone is from 1974, one of those 40 shows that the Dead played on, wait for it, the Wall of Sound. And in a couple of weeks, Brian Anderson, the author of the book Loud and Clear, would have thought a book would be so good on such a obscure subject, but it is. It transcends, even if you're not a Deadhead, it's an interesting cultural history. But more on that later. Let's go back to the Alley Pally, Alexandra Palace in London, September 10th, 1974. I think we need Bob Weir to pep things up a little bit.
Be in my uncle. Went right down, Sacramento.
West Texas bound. We stopped up in Santa Fe. Well, that being the point, just about halfway. And you know it was the hottest part of the day. I took the horses up to the stud, went to the barroom, ordered drinks for all. 3 days in the saddle, you know my body hurt. It'd been summer, I took off my shirt, but I tried to wash off some of that dust and dirt. West Texas cowboys, there's all around. We linger in money, there's loaded now. Too soon I depend it, though it seemed a shame. You know my uncle, he starts bringing the game.
Ali Pally, Alexandra Palace, London, September 10th, 1974. Yes, the Dead in their infinite unwisdom carted that whole monstrous sound system over there for just a handful of gigs, and nothing was working right there. Internally, externally, but still, Jerry could rip off a solo like that in Me and My Uncle. So there you go. This is the Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson. This has been and will continue to be a two-hour salute to the fabulous Wall of Sound and an equally fabulous book called Loud and Clear, whose author, Brian Anderson, will be joining in a couple of weeks. But a lot of basic research was done. Parrish, Steve Parrish, Jerry's towering roadie and now a serious star. I think he's serious and serious radio star. Described the Wall of Sound thusly. It was mind-blowing. Trying to make that PA work in the confines of what you'd call the metaphysical world was difficult. It pushed everything to the limits as it took us along with it. We thought we controlled it, but it ended up controlling us in a lot of ways.
songs that we hear are just songs for us. We found, discovered that you are the song that the moon.
Thank you. treated this earth. Going where the water tastes like wine. Going where the water tastes like wine. Wanna be treated the same way. Going down the road, feeling bad. Going down the road, feeling bad. Going down the road, feeling bad. Bad, bad. Wanna be treated the same way. This is
it might be better if you dart around behind all the stuff.
That's pretty hard. There ain't that many holes, you know.
Well, I know, but that's how few there are. Try to get them up at the top. Think about it. Because that would be the hippest. That would be the hippest. Then you'd have
the screen is so high, you know.
Hey, man, I know, but you're just having to get stuff to happen down here in the middle somewhere.
That would be the hippest. Jerry Garcia, that's from the Grateful Dead movie. That's the movie that converted me into... I got on the bus when I saw that movie, not when I saw them at Watkins Glen or at one of those Winterland shows that Fade Away going down the road came from, which was October 18th, 74. I was at one of those shows, didn't get it. It was only the Grateful Dead movie. Well, time for my boot heels to be wandering. We're going to have Brian Anderson, the author of Loud and Clear, on in a couple of weeks. A great book on the Wall of Sound, and I think now you hear why it's great. I want to leave you with this quote from the book, from a Deadhead who attended one of those shows. During the intermission, I heard something like incredibly beautiful birds twittering in the rafters. I realized it was Garcia facing his amps, and he'd been gently soloing. The fan says, "The Wall of Sound was flat out the finest use of electricity I've ever witnessed."
Thank you. at your door. So...